Thanks, Andrew. I have a feeling that I'm not going to make too many friends with my presentation today. I'm going to talk about kind of the current status of land-grant university fertilizer recommendations. So my goals for this talk are for anybody from the international audience. I'm going to just kind of give a brief overview of how recommendations are made in the USA. I'm going to then demonstrate how different our fertilizer recommendations really are, give you my opinion about what I think we're doing wrong. I'm a pretty opinionated guy. And then maybe a brief summary of some potential paths forward. So, you know, we have two kind of approaches to making fertilizer recommendations for, I'm talking about for phosphorus and potassium here. We'll talk about nitrogen in a minute. We have the nutrient buildup and maintenance approach. And kind of the objective is we're building the soil test to a non-limiting level. And we want to do that in a certain period of years. And once we get there, we're going to maintain that soil test level through regular fertilizer additions so we don't limit yields in the future. And we're not quite so highly reliant on soil tests as providing kind of the fraction of fertilizer that's going to be delivered to the plant. It's just that once we get to a non-limiting level, then we're pretty confident that with regular fertilizer additions, we are not going to impact yield. You know, conceptually, it's a good approach for people that own their own land, and they plan on owning their own land, and they have the money to invest in fertilizer to account for fluctuating fertilizer budgets. I put maybe in there because, you know, in the case of phosphorus, if you're going to go from 15 to 25 ppm, it's going to cost you probably $100 per acre to get there, okay? So that's kind of, this is a little bit of a brief overview. These mouses on these computers are really horrible. But, you know, if you're below the critical level, and the critical level is basically where we don't expect a yield response to applied fertilizer 95% of the time. And Antonio is always talking about, and at what confidence level do we say that? And you don't find that anywhere. And so for below that critical level, we're applying what the crop removal rate is, or whatever is designed to maintain the soil test, which is actually what this line is here. I'm going to give up on this. You can see it on here. Yeah, there we go. All right. So there's our maintenance rate, and we go back to the y-axis. And, you know, that's kind of our rate to keep the soil test constant. And then anything above that rate is what we're using to build the soil test level to. Then we get between the critical level and the maintenance limit. And the maintenance limit is either where it's economically, you know, not efficient to maintain your soil test levels that high, or you're starting to get into the boundary conditions of excessive loss for, say, phosphorus. Then we drop our fertilizer recommendations below the maintenance rate, and so soil test levels will creep back. And so somewhere between the critical level and the maintenance limit, you know, we have the same fertilizer recommendations, and we're pretty dictatorial about how we do this. The nutrient sufficiency level approach is a little bit different because it's not designed to build the soil test level to any critical level, at least theoretically. And there we're saying that the soil is going to supply a certain amount of fertilizer, and we're going to make up the balance with the fertilizer recommendations. And in those kind of situations, you're really assuming kind of annual applications of P and K fertilizer. And I think that's a good approach if you're renting land, and over half the land in the U.S. that's farmed is rented land, so why in the heck would somebody be renting land that has relatively low P and K soil test levels and applying more fertilizer than what they need to maximize yields this year? It just doesn't make any sense because you're buying fertilizer for the next person. And so we have, you know, price of our crops has gone down now, and so farmers don't have unlimited fertilizer budgets, and we've only had that for a few years. I mean, the entire rest of our careers has been in a, you know, scratch and dig kind of mode for farming. So this is kind of what it looks like. You know, we're always kind of looking at the critical level at the high point with this efficiency approach because we're not really trying to build up the soil test levels. So this is kind of my interpretation of a sufficiency-based level approach. And basically, you're only applying what the crop's going to need to maximize yields this year. And if you follow that approach, you know, your soil test is going to probably creep down below the critical level because at some point, you have to apply at least what the crop is removing to maintain yields, and at some point, you're going to have to be applying more, but you're effectively going to be lowering your soil test level over time relative to the maintenance and buildup approach. And so that's kind of my summary of that. You know, to me, both approaches can be used to help farmers make informed decisions. The nutrient buildup and maintenance approach may be a better approach for farmers on their own land where they're willing to make that investment, but it really depends on how much money they have. I certainly think the nutrient sufficiency approach is better for farmers on rented land, and so that's for sure half the farmers. So I want to talk a little bit about the status of our fertilizer recommendations, and this is where I'm not going to gain any friends. So they're almost exclusively state-based, and I think they're a result of history and pride. Okay, you know, we have 50 little fiefdoms, and every soil fertility expert knows more than any other soil fertility expert, and so as a result, we have different fertilizer recommendations. We also have a pretty narrow genetic line. You know, you were either trained by, you know, people my age were either trained by the descendants of Leo Walsh or the descendants of Eugene Campreth. Okay? They were the godfathers of soil fertility. Well, we have access to a lot of information now that they didn't have access to, and farming has changed. I think we have to change our fertilizer recommendations with that. As a result of this history and pride, we have magic that happens at state borders. So I think that more regional and flexible approaches are needed. And when it comes to nitrogen, I think that anytime you try to make a fertilizer recommendation for nitrogen in a rain-fed environment without understanding what's going on with the weather, you're doomed to failure. So as part of our MMP development project, we've programmed fertilizer recommendations for 44 states, and I'm not going to show them all. But here's the Midwestern states. You know, we're talking about, you know, this is about 175 bushel per acre corn for those of you that don't like dealing with metric units. I think we can do the calculations for kilograms per hectare to pounds per acre. But you see that in the Midwest, we all states go to zero at 40 parts per million. And the states on the right-hand side are the states that use the buildup and maintenance approach. Then you look at Minnesota and Nebraska. They're more of a sufficiency-based approach. Okay, this is the difference in our fertilizer recommendations. Okay, and so they vary quite a bit. You know, Roberta Perry tells me, you know, whenever I hear this EPA stuff about, you know, woe the Midwest because we are going to plop the guidelines that are using the Chesapeake Bay and the MARB, right? So here's what the Northeastern states look like. I always tell my farmers, if they make us do what's going on in the Northeast, it's the Wild West, because nobody goes to zero until you hit 50. And I didn't even run these out past 60. I thought, my God, nobody's going to make a fertilizer recommendation at 60 parts per million. Well, I'm sorry, I'm totally wrong. You know, I mean, we're making fertilizer. I got to extend this out before I publish it. So there's huge, huge differences. You look at potassium, it's the one that we, you know, whine, wail, and gnash our teeth about. Well, our potassium fertilizer recommendations in the Midwest, different approaches, but we wind up somewhere in that 150 parts per million range where we go to zero. Iowa's a little bit higher, but Iowa's about the only state that actually does fertilizer response trial research. So I'm serious. Most of our fertilizer recommendations are based not on the stuff that people my age have done, it's the people the generation before me, because there is no money to do this kind of research. I was wailing, whining, and gnashing my teeth to Roberta Perry about that yesterday. And then we go out east. Well, it's, you know, it's all over the map again. And so if I'm a farmer and I see this kind of data, what confidence do I have in the land grant recommendations? We look at nitrogen recommendations. So this is our old yield goal-based nitrogen recommendations for corn and soybean in the Midwest. You know, it's corn following soybean. In the Midwest, you know, 11.3, about 180 bushel per acre corn. Back when these recommendations were developed in the 90s, early 90s, late 80s, 180 bushel corn was pretty darn good corn. Our fertilizer recommendations went from, you know, about 100 kilograms per hectare up to about 225 kilograms per hectare. And then as our yields have increased over time, well, we didn't really account for these really high yields back then. And so if you continue the line, then the recommendations go into the land of ridiculousness. And so then we got this great idea, we're going to use the maximum return to nitrogen approach because there's really not a relationship between yield and optimum N rate. But our range and fertilizer recommendations in the Midwest is, instead of going from about 100 to 225, now we're at about 120 to 225. I would surmise that we haven't made any progress. Okay? Our approach is different, makes sense, but we haven't changed anything. In the Northeast, their recommendations are a little bit more tightly bound, and they're a little bit lower than the Midwest. Okay? Here's the impact on a farmer. 15 parts per million, malic 3 phosphorus, or malic 3 equivalent. 100 parts per million, soil test P, exchangeable soil test K. If we assume that nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium are 50 cents a pound, sorry about that, I didn't change that over, for 1,000 acres of farm, the two-year recommendation for 180 bushel corn, 60 bushel beans, ranges, the average is $206,000. It ranges from $95,000 to $393,000. Okay? There's 9 states that are less than 150, 13 states that are between 150 and 250, and 7 states that are over $250,000. Explain that to me. Okay? Explain that to a farmer. Explain to me why Illinois has a higher fertilizer recommendation than Indiana. Okay? They have better soils. They should be better soils. It's a function of our fertilizer recommendation, because 15 parts per million is pretty low in Illinois for soil test P. They have a higher critical level. Okay? And their soil test K, they have a very steep buildup approach, but I think it's still a 4-year approach. But it's 67% more expensive to farm in Illinois than it is in Indiana. Okay? And you look at other states, Vermont up in the Northeast is $95,000, then you skip one state over to New Hampshire and it's $250,000. The soils aren't that different, I'm sorry. So we have to eliminate the state border magic. So I think that in the future, what we need to start addressing is our recommendation should be more soil specific. I know the NRCS soil database sucks in some things, but it's much better than just a guess and by golly. So we need to consider soil type, their chemical properties, their physical properties, the landscape position, because landscape position matters. We need to know about the climate, and we need to know about the cropping system. Okay. The benefits of a regional approach are that we can develop consistent sampling and analysis guidelines, so we don't have 6 inches here, 8 inches there, 4 inches there. For phosphorus and potassium, we could develop more flexible risk-based approaches and allow farmers to choose between the buildup and maintenance approaches and the nutrient sufficiency approaches. Dave Mangle at Kansas State did this years ago. Okay, he also allowed farmers to choose their buildup time frame. It's the approach that we need to take. We could base our fertilizer recommendations on something other than political boundaries. Okay, now, I understand there's politics involved in that, but doesn't matter, because we have states where different regions of the state have different fertilizer recommendations, and so if we can share things when we have common borders with common soil types, until we get in different parent materials or climate, there's no reason for those fertilizer recommendations to change. When it comes to nitrogen fertilizer recommendations for spring planted crops, I still don't think that coming up with our recommendation in rain-fed systems is very good. If you look at yield monitor data from a combine, it's at least a 2-to-1 ratio in yields. Current recommendations for corn in the Midwest are based on best management practices. Not all farmers follow best management practices. Okay, a lot of farmers fall apply anhydrous ammonia. A lot of farmers early spring pre-plant anhydrous ammonia. We don't have recommendations for them. We just say, you're not doing it right. Okay. So I think we need to have modeling approaches. We need to take advantage of these drones once the FAA decides how we can use them. Tractor-mounted sensors, there's a lot of things going on. We need to start coupling this technology with what we know about soils and production systems and come up with a new approach to making fertilizer recommendations. So with that, I'm sorry I hacked off about half of the soil fertility people in the room, but I think that this is where we need to go. So thank you. Yes.
So I help with fertilizer recommendations in Idaho. Have you come up with an analysis for the Western United States and Southern United States as well?
Yeah, not for Idaho. The two states that I thought would have the most restrictive approaches are California and Florida. And at least when it comes to livestock manure management, it's a Wild West scenario in both of those states. But yeah, I have it for Oregon, Washington. You know, I have 44 states, so the states I don't have are obviously Alaska and Hawaii, Idaho, Texas, North Carolina, and New York. I have everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bob.
Yeah, the call to action, if you will, that you've already issued here, where do you think we go? I mean, how do we move forward on this stuff? The sanctity of the soil test is so great.
Well, I'm speaking to the younger people here, right? I mean, maybe we have to die off. I don't know. But, you know, but I think what we should be doing is we know how we have differences in approach, but, you know, a lot of it is, it's not a philosophical difference, okay? Unless you're Antonio Malarino, you don't really have a whole lot of solid footing to stand on to back up your fertilizer recommendations. Now, I don't know why we can't sit in a room and come up with an approach, at least the approaches that we're going to follow. The numbers might change a little bit, but, you know, we all whine about NRCS. You know, you look at the digitized soil survey and you cross the state boundary and, well, the soil map unit just changed. But it's okay for our fertilizer recommendations to change. It's not right. I mean, how hard is it to say, look, let's start compiling our response data. This is what we were supposed to do with the MRTN approach. Let's start combining our response data on soil climate, you know, kind of ecoregions, and look at it that way. But instead, what did we do? We went right back to our old approach, circled the line around our borders, and we applied it to our states, and then every state's different. It's just a different way of doing it. Okay. I got to go piss off all the phosphorus index people next. So, thank you.